I want to talk this morning about endurance. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you give up in the middle of your battle, you made a mistake. Paul told the Galatians, in due season we will reap if we faint not, if we don't give up. Jesus, when he was talking in Matthew, he was talking to the disciples about sending them out as sheep amongst wolves, and how in the last days brother will turn against brother, and there'll be opposition on all sides. It says, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So it's not just stepping out into the battle. It's continuing to stand. And when we talk about the armor of God, it's at the end of the armor of God. At the beginning of it, it says, having done all to stand, stand. It's not just enough to get all the preparation. You actually have to stand. We have to endure. We have to go through things. This life, it's not like we can put things on pause. In this life, the thing, you're either, if you're swimming in a river, you're either fighting the current or you're getting washed out to sea. There's no staying in place. It's always going forward. In Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 32, writer of Hebrews says, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle of sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by the reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you were becoming companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the souls. The writer of the Hebrews says, remember when you first came to... When you first came to the Lord, when you were first illuminated, that there was opposition and turmoil on all sides. You weren't accepted by the people around you. Talking to them, we can see that in our own lives. Unless, some of us grew up in church and everything was great growing up in church. Sort of. Others of it didn't grow up in church. So became some of the people were the first in their family to come to know the Lord. Not accepted. When I came back to God after all those years of setting a real bad example, people were surprised that I no longer wanted to set the same bad example, that I wanted to be different. When we turn away from our old ways, when we turn to follow the Lord, there's some opposition and there's some turmoil. The writer says, remember. What it was like. Remember that you faced opposition before. You're facing opposition now. Don't be surprised by it and don't give up by it. Because it says here in verse 36, For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Sometimes God will tell you to do something, and you do it. And okay, Lord, there's a blessing to obeying your word. I'm not really seeing much. Sometimes it seems like God is delaying his promise. God is delaying his blessing. God is delaying what he said he was going to do. But it's not in our timing. So as we face the things going on in this world, as we see the turmoil, we've talked about changing seasons a couple of weeks ago. We talked about stability and change last week, how we have to be confident in knowing who God is, that doesn't matter what's going on around us, we're still trusting in him. Now we're talking about having endurance, that no matter what happens, we are still steadfast. God has not brought you this far to leave you right here. No matter where you are, he has not brought you this far to leave you right here. He has brought you this far because he has you on a journey. The steps of a good man, a good person, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. God is at work in our lives. He's directing our steps, and he is aware of everything that's going on outside and around us. And he's aware of everything that's going on inside us, too. He's God over all. We are called to stand. We are called to be faithful. We are called to be steadfast. James 1 says, beginning with verse 2, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. For if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I heard something this week, some minister on the radio. I could not tell you who it was. I couldn't tell you what day I heard it. Any of that. But what he said was, God made a perfect man and a perfect woman and put them in a perfect world, and they were untested. And look at what happened. As God gives us a new heart, as God gives us a new life, as we are born again, we are perfect and untested. And we have to go through the testing, the trials of our faith to strengthen us and let us know that we know who God is. Remind us that God is faithful in all of His ways. Until we learn that God is faithful, we won't trust Him. Until we learn that God knows the end from the beginning, we'll get overwhelmed by our circumstances. Is all we can see is our problems and not the big God on the other side watching over and bringing us through it. We get overwhelmed in that. I don't remember if anybody's ever seen the movie Patch Adams, but there was a scene in there where the guy is in an insane asylum. Patch Adams, Robin Williams, is in the insane asylum, and he's talking with the guy, and the guy says, "How many fingers do you see?" And everybody says, "Four." "Four?" And he was freaking out because they were looking at the problem, and he was trying to get them to look past the four to see, you know, they kind of blurred together, and he saw five because they were looking at a solution, looking past the problem at something else. We need to look past our problems to see God directing us through it. When we recognize that God is the one bringing us through it, the problems themselves don't matter. What's God doing in this? It says, verse 4. Well, actually, go back to 3. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Not just getting patience, but let it actually percolate in us. It's one thing to have patience. It's something else to endure. How long do I have to have patience? Guess what? We're not really that patient. If we're worried about when this patience thing is going to get over, do we can get beyond this, we're not really enduring. We're not really putting up with it. We're not really letting it have its perfect work. 1 Corinthians 9, or 3, beginning with verse 9. Paul says, "For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." So what's that saying? It says the things we do will be tested. Tested by fire, tested by turmoil, tested by pressure, tested by circumstances. Are we standing in faith? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we being obedient to God's work in our lives? We're not trying to follow somebody else's ministry. We're not trying to follow somebody else's calling. But are we faithful to what God has given us? Each and every... I'm saying us. Am I faithful to what God has called me to do? Are you faithful to what God has called you to do? Remember, the body fitly joined together increases as each joint gives an increase, as each joint supplies what is there. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. The body of Christ is strengthened by what each of us supplies. And if we were all exactly the same, that'd be a pretty weird looking body. You know? I've talked before about being part of that prayer group that met once a month throughout New England. 6012 prayer group, people, ministers from throughout all six New England states would gather once a month just to pray for New England and come together and encourage one another. And the second to the last meeting, because it was a 12-month thing, the second to the last meeting, the woman next to me stood up and read the story of the Valley of Dry Bones and how as Ezekiel prophesied that the bones come together and it was bone to his bone. And as like the one that it fit in the place it needed to be. And they stood up an exceeding, almost after the flesh came on and they breathed, they stood up an exceeding great army. But I had this picture in my head of the leg bone from a short guy going into the body of a tall guy and just how it was so off-site, so deformed, because it wasn't where they were supposed to be. Each of us have a place where God has called us to be, where God is fitting us to be, where God is joining us to be, and it's all part of building up the entire body of Christ. We have a place, each and every one of us. We have a ministry. We have a purpose. We have the gift of God in our lives to direct us. He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. But we have to go through the things to get where He wants us to be. We have to go through the testing. We have to go through the trials. We have to endure to the end. As Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Paul said, in due season we will reap if we don't faint, if we don't give up. We have to keep going. God did not bring you this far so you can say, okay, I'm good. This is where I always wanted to be. Thanks, Lord. Really? God, direct my steps. God, lead me. God, work in me. My face doesn't yet glow like Moses's, so that I have to wear a veil. Not that that's my goal. Not that I want to have a glowing face. But I want to be so much like Jesus that people in sin can't bear to look to see that. Or maybe have the compassion of Jesus so that as they look in my eyes, all they see is love. Lord, I'm not yet like that. Lord, use me. Lord, work in me. That means we have to go through things. Tribulation works patience, patience experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. I talked about this before. Tribulation works patience. More tribulation, another click on the... Tribulation works patience, patience experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. Lord, keep working it in me. I look back at who I was. In fact, I've been in contact with some of my old Navy buddies, and they're like, wait a minute, you are a preacher? Praise God. Think of the testimony. God can take that messed up person and use him to bring the Word of God. My brother that's getting married, for 35 years was never sober unless he was in jail. Until he stopped running from God and God turned him around completely. Praise God. There's hope for every prodigal because I know a couple. Every last one of us. We'll go down there and we'll see that cousin that told Deb, says, you don't understand. When I was growing up, they was the heathen, talking about me and my brother. We were the bad examples. God has brought me so far. God has brought each and every one of us so far from where we were. And in due season, we will reap if we faint not. In due season, if we let God continue to change us, if we don't give up, if we don't just throw in the towel. We saw a couple of songs this morning. One in the music list and one before service started by Ray Bolts, who was such an anointed singer. Spirit of God moved in his songs. He can't listen to his songs without feeling God's presence. And he's turned his back and walked away. Oh, Lord, bring him back. Lord, heal him. Lord, draw him by your Spirit. It's not your will that any should perish. So many people have walked away. So many people have given up. He said, it's hard. Well, kind of like Jesus talking to the disciples. After he told the crowd that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And the crowd walked away, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And Jesus turns to the disciples and says, will you leave also? What's the answer, Steve?
Where else am I going to go?
Exactly. You have the words of eternal life. There is no other place to go. God has shown himself mighty in my life and in your life and has brought you to this place. There is no other place to go. As the storms of this life rage on, the anchor holds. Open this up because I don't remember what other songs we sang. As the difficulties of this life happen, Jesus, bring the rain. Lord, if that's what it takes to praise you, Lord, bring the rain. If we have to have turmoil in our life so that we will praise God, Lord, send the turmoil. If that's what it takes to get me to not rely on myself and to trust in you, and Lord, do it. Please. We look at our nation. We see the turmoil on every side. We see opposition. We see all kinds of crazy things going on. And remember, this is a nation that was founded in covenant with God. And we turned our back as a nation on the Lord. I remember when prayer was still legal in school. Started the day that way. I remember that. I remember when we didn't have a quote-unquote constitutional right to murder an innocent unborn child. I remember these things. Lord, as a nation, we have turned our back on you in so many different ways. As a nation, Father, we need you. Lord, your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We cannot blame the wickedness in this world on the people outside. It has to be us taking a stand, saying, I and my fathers have sinned. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Lord, redeem us. Lord, draw us close to you. Father, work through us in the midst of this darkness. You've called us to be ambassadors of heaven to a land that so desperately needs you. Lord, work through us. But that also means, Father, that we have to stand. We have to endure. We have to go through whatever it is that comes, knowing, Father, that you are the one who keeps us, has us engraved in the palm of your hands. And even if our life gets taken, we're told not to fear those who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can cast both soul and body in hell. That our fear should be based, should be upon you. Reliance on you, Father. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12, last passage. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1. We know Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter and talks about all of those heroes of the faith of the Old Testament and even those who didn't get the answers that they wanted. Some killed. Some all kinds of things happen to them. But then it goes on to Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1, says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It goes on in Hebrews 12 to say, for you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's more we can do. We are called to have endurance in our walk. We are called to have endurance in our faith. We are called to have endurance even in our patience. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Or 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers long and is kind. Are we kind when we're in the middle of turmoil? Are we kind when we have people get up in our face? Are we witnesses and be a faithful witnesses of God when things go wrong? Lord, help us. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. We are not here by mistake. We are not here by accident. He answers our prayers before we ever ask. Sometimes we don't see the answer for a while. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. Remember what the angel told to Daniel. Daniel had been praying for 2 weeks. And said the angel said, the very first time you asked, I was sent. But I was delayed by the prince of Persia. I was delayed by the demonic spirits over the area. Until Michael had to come in and clear the way. But the answer was sent from the very beginning. Sometimes we don't see it. But the answer is sent. God is at work in our lives. So just because we can't see the answer, just because we don't see the solution, just because we don't see what's going on, doesn't mean it's not already in the works. God is at work in our lives. And we are called to endure. We are called to keep going. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. And not if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Not to give up. Just because things aren't going the way we think they ought to. Just because things aren't pleasant. Just because things aren't comfortable. God has a plan and purpose that involves you right where you are. And He also has a plan and purpose that has a future ahead of it. I know the plans I have toward you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. It says that in Jeremiah 3. God has a plan and purpose for us. This is not the end of the story. Praise God. Father, we do thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You're calling us to endure to the end. Father, that You're calling us to run with endurance. That You're calling us to let patience have its perfect work in us. Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing. We thank You, Lord, that You're the one who sees the end from the beginning. You know the path that You set before our feet. And You are guiding us and leading us. Thank You, Father, that doesn't matter what's going on around us. We are not to be distracted by the things on the outside, rather, Lord, but press in and draw close to You to seek Your face, to seek Your guidance, to seek Your plan. And Father, You be glorified. We give You praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.